We were talking the last time I had the opportunity to speak about Naaman, who was sent to Israel for his healing, and he was told to go wash 7 times in the Jordan River. And he was angry about it because he said, hey, that's not even a good river. You know, it's dirty. And he was looking for some great pronouncement that the prophet would come out and pronounce him clean and rebuke the leprosy or do something great. It was the simple thing. And his servant said, hey, if he asked you to do something great, would you have done it? And of course, the answer was yes. Will you do the simple things? You know, the weapons of our warfare are not complex. The power of God, the grace of God in your life, when believed, will do amazing things. The problem is that so often in life, we don't have faith in the very elementary things that God wants us to have faith in. His grace, His life, His power, His Spirit to lead us and guide us. Now when God called us, when He called us out of this world, He saved us not just to keep us alive. His goal wasn't just to give us life support. His goal was to give us a new and abundant life in Him. God wants you to share life with Him for eternity. The plan from the beginning to make man in His image, to bless mankind with authority and dominion, to give liberty, was all part of a process that God was undertaking to make you in His image that you could live with Him forever. You see, that's more than just being alive, isn't it? It's more than just being conscious. It's living with Him and in Him and seeing your life with Him. When we're called out of this world, we're called to something completely different. Ron this morning gave an excellent talk at the men's Bible study, the men's breakfast. And basically, you're either all in or you're not. Are you in or not? Even in the book of Revelation chapter 3, God says to the church of Laodicea, He said, are you hot or cold? Which are you? He said, you're lukewarm. I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Because I can't tell where you are. As a people with an identity in Christ, we should be where we are in Christ. To know who God is. And so we've been talking over the last many weeks, ever since we entered this building, about dedication to God. The sanctification of our lives to God. Becoming in holiness with God. The power to overcome sin. Tearing down the idols of the heart. And making God the God of our hearts. And last week, Scott was talking about the just. And that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. What does that mean? What is the image in your mind that you get when you recite the phrase, the just shall live by faith? See, that's a statement of reality. It's a statement of visualization, of seeing what is not. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now you see, in that, the just living by faith, faith means that we're believing that He is, and that He rewards those who seek Him. That's the expression of your faith. If you say, how do I know if I'm living by faith? Do you believe that He is? And do you believe that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him? The evidence of that will show up in living like He exists all the time. That there's nowhere you can go, not up to heaven, not down below under there. There's nowhere you can go apart from Him. So you're always in His presence. And you live knowing that He cares about you, that as you seek Him, you're going to find Him and He's going to be right there for you. The relationship is, I want to walk with you. Let me walk with you. The just live by faith. And the evidence of that is, are we diligently seeking Him? You see, if you say in my life, I don't know if I have been diligently seeking Him. I struggle with just my relationship with God. I can go weeks, months without prayer, without Bible study, or without meditation, or without fasting, or without service to others, out of service to God, and giving offerings of my life and my time to God. You see, these things are evidence that something's not quite right in our hearts. And you know that what we've been talking about the last few weeks in terms of confession, that confession is one of the great tools, one of the great weapons to defeat the enemy, darkness and sin in your life. Why pretend? Why act like it's not there? Are we hiding anything from the Almighty? See, the evil one would love for you to justify yourself, to not confess. But what we need to do is bring our lives to the light of God. So we've talked about confession. I want to talk to you today about God in your life by faith. Faith-based decisions. You see, a faith-based decision is a decision that's not just something that you wish to do or you want to do or you hope to do. It is something that you've purposed in your life because of who God is and who you are in Him. When you see your life in God, the just live by faith, you see that you are justified by God and everything changes. You see, one of the great lies of the evil one is for you to think that somehow your sin is bigger than Jesus' sacrifice. That somehow Christ's sacrifice wasn't enough to cleanse you of your iniquity, to wash away your sin, to purge out what is wrong. The just know they're just. Now, who are you as a child of God? Now, growing up, I watched a lot of movies, way too many. But I'll tell you, one of my favorite stories was of the pauper who found out that they were actually the child of the king. They were part of the royal family. Right? They did a modern one, Princess Diaries. But it's kind of a story where a person's just living a normal, common, ordinary life, and they're just doing what everybody else does, and they're going to school, and they're playing with friends. But when they get the revelation, that's not who they are. That there's someone else. They're actually part of a royal family. Things start to change for them. Knowing who you are, knowing what your birthright is. Now, you know that Jesus, it says in John chapter 1, it says, Jesus came to give you the right to be the child of God. You have to believe that. See, the just know who they are. And therefore, everything in life is affected by the knowledge of who they are in Christ. Jesus says, I'm giving my life for you. I'm dying for you that you would be part of the family of God. You are blessed with the Spirit of God so that you can cry out, Abba, Father! To the Creator of the universe, that you can look up and say, Dad! Dad! And know you're standing in God. You see, when you know who you are in God, now you can start to make decisions that are faith-based. Because you know God exists, you know who you are in God, that you've been justified by God, and now the world changes for you. The run-of-the-mill isn't good enough anymore. Once you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And His desire, His work, is to be involved in your life. But here's the beautiful thing. As He said to the children of Israel, He says to us, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day. God will open up every door. He's asking you to walk through it. When they came to the Red Sea, He said, I'm going to do all the work. But what are you doing here? Walk through. Walk. When Naaman was told to go wash, what did he need to do? He needed to go wash. It was simple. But he still needed to do it. You see, the things of God are not complex. They are simple. They're simple, but they're not always easy. There's a difference between simple and easy. Simple is, it's very clear. But they can be very difficult, these simple things. Why? Because we complicate it. We complicate it. We make it something it's not. We lose faith in ourselves. We lose faith in God. We lose faith in what we should be doing. So we have to have God in everything we do to simplify our hearts and our minds to what it is we're doing here. Friends, we're living, we're breathing, we're conscious. But we've been called to be so much more than that. You are called the child of God. Do you believe that? Do you, as you sit here today, thinking of what I'm speaking about, do you say, I am the child of God? I am accepted in the Beloved. I was made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am the righteousness of God. Do you believe that? See, because that identity is going to shape the way you live your life. Now, the first thing I want us to take a look at as we consider faith-based decisions is desire. Turn with me over to the book of Psalms, chapter 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Now, do you see how cool God is? He's saying, delight yourself in Me. In other words, put your faith in Me. Delight yourself that I exist, that I'm a rewarder of those. See, delight in Me and who I am and what I'm doing. And the things that you desire are going to become a reality. If you commit your ways to Me, He's saying, and trust in Me, I'm going to bring it to pass. Well, why is this important? Faith. What do you want in life? What do you desire? You see, the desires I had before I came to Christ, to really walking with Christ and knowing Christ, those desires were very different than my desires today. Desires get purified by spending time with God, by praying, by reading His Word, by fellowshipping with other believers. Your desires, the things that you want, change. And they should be. If your desires are the same today as they were before you were called, are you delighting in the Lord or in your own thoughts, in your own ways? What are the things that you really want in life? You know, when I was a kid, I thought, well, man, if I was a millionaire, I would vacation every week, and I would just go off in all these different places, and I would bathe along the sandy beaches, and people would bring me drinks, and I'd have a boat that I'd swim out to. Those are the dreams of a child. I don't have any of those dreams anymore. That's not the way I want to live my life. My dreams have changed because my God has changed. The things I idolize in my life of people serving me is a vision I have no more. Not because of me, because of God. The desires that you have in life should be a reflection of your relationship with God. If what you're looking for are the same dreams that you've always had, I challenge you, are these the ones that came from God? They might be. But are they consistent with who God is? The just shall live by faith. The desires should be according to what God desires. Turn with me over to James 4. I remember as a teenager reading these verses and thinking about it and just how profound they are. In James chapter 4, he says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure that war in your members? Why is there so much war? Why in a world of such great technology do we have so much conflict and warfare? Why do we have a world that's actually now growing again in slavery and bondage? Physically and spiritually. Because there's these lusts. There's these desires in our hearts. Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? When we just want for ourselves, we're going to go wrong. Our default way, the way we go by ourselves, is at enmity with God. It's not subject to who He is. Notice, you lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war. And mankind will continue to fight in war, trying to gain more for self. Notice this. He says, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss. How do we ask amiss? That you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. In other words, what are the things that you desire? Are they being checked by God? You want a church building. Why? See, the church building can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. It's a thing. It's not to be worshipped. It's not to be revered. God is to be worshipped. God is to be revered. This building will be a good thing if it tends to service. The building will be a bad thing if it tends to strife. Things in life can be measured not by the thing themselves, but the reason why you have the thing, why you want the thing. How will you use the thing? God is earnest to bless. God says that He wants to reward those who diligently seek Him. That he wants to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal. But it means that there's something going on in the elementary part of the relationship that says, I want to be purified by you, God, and the desires of my heart to be purified. That I don't ask amiss. Now, when I first started praying, when I really started giving my life over to God and giving him chunks of my life, I realized that part of the problem I was having in prayer before then was I was afraid of screwing up. That somehow I would be asking for the wrong things. I would find myself asking for silly things and selfish things and things not of God. And that made me not want to pray so much. Now, maybe you guys have never had that problem, but that was me. I'm laying it out there. And I realized that the things I was asking for, a lot of times I wasn't receiving, and that would make me disappointed because I wanted it. But I was asking amiss. I wasn't asking for the right reasons, for the right purposes. So what I decided to do was not hold back anything anymore. It wasn't like I was hiding from God anyway. So I just started letting out all my heart until I had let him know every selfish desire I had. And finally we could begin to set things right. To set desires right. Because if what you're really pining for inside is not consistent with God, if what you really are showing and striving for in life, that your actions are pursuing, the feet will run where the faith goes. And if you see you're not going the right way, just let it out. Use that weapon of warfare to let it out. If your feet keep running in a way you don't want them to go, ask yourself why. Because I promise you this, what you believe, you will seek. We are here today because we believe in Almighty God. We come here today because we're seeking Him. If we don't have faith to do this, we won't show up. You show up for work because you have a job. Somebody's going to pay you to be there and do a work for them. You have faith in certain things in life. Your life is a collection of beliefs and it comes out in your actions. So what are you running to? What is the fruit of your life? You have to say, what is going on in me? Because if you keep getting the same fruit that you don't want, and you keep going down the path over and over cyclically, and you keep coming to the same spots, maybe what you're seeking and desiring is all wrong. And what you're believing and hoping and pining for is not of God. And you just haven't been honest with yourself about it. So let's be honest. Let's ask God to come into our hearts. Bring out the desires that are not right and show us why they're not right. And instill into us godly desires, the things He would have us to do. See, God wants to put a right desire in your heart. God wants to build up right desires within you because He's working to create you in the image of His Son. He's working in your life to shape you and fashion you. And He said that He who's begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. But what does He need from us? He needs us to submit to the process. He's asking us to submit voluntarily. He's not wanting to force us into this. He's asking us to give ourselves to this. This I can assure you of. As we individually and as a body of believers that come to this place and meet together and call each other brothers and sisters in Christ, as we give ourselves to God, He will refine our desires. Let that happen. Let that beautiful work happen. Because what you might find is, instead of taking 2 hours to watch TV a week, you might be taking 2 hours to go visit someone in a nursing home, in a memory care unit, in a hospital, at a shelter. You might be using your time in a way very different, but much more reflective of the glory of God. Right? Could we say that the desire out of service and love for God, service of love for mankind, to go visit someone who has no visitors would rank a lot higher than sitting down in front of a television for a couple hours? Not that watching TV is bad. Some people say, hey, I'm all against TV. I'm not all against TV. I'm just saying if that's your life, you're missing out. Watch an hour of TV. I'm not going to judge on the television. Or anything you do, I'm asking you to think about what's more valuable, what really will put peace in your heart, what really will help you unwind from a day, what will really help you get your mind off yourself and unto God and godly desires. That's what this is about. Living by faith. The just live by faith. They see God in their lives and they start having desires that go along with God's desires. So let God in. Let God into your heart and your mind to shape the things in your life, in who you are and what you do. The next part is knowledge. You desire to spend more time in prayer. How do you pray? Jesus said when you pray, pray like this, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. He says, I'm going to show you how. I'm going to teach you what prayer is. I'm going to teach you what it's about. Do you desire to pray? This word holds keys for you in your life. Now, you might say, well, the thing that I desire is godly, but I'm trying to figure out how to do it in my life. There are all kinds of resources. But here's the thing. God says in the book of Isaiah, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Turn with me over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Notice this, what God, through Solomon, who He had given such great wisdom, says about knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1, let's pick it up here in verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 7. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. See, you can't really have right knowledge until you have a right perspective. God exists. The just live by faith. They know God exists and they know why they're here. That's where real knowledge begins. If your knowledge is God doesn't exist and nobody in the world cares about me but me, see, that's going to take you on a very different path, isn't it? Your desires are going to go a different route. Because if you're just here by chance and everybody else is just here by chance and you're just about survival of the fittest and what's in it for me, your life and desires will go completely opposite of God's. You might have some goodness, you might have a show of goodness. But the reality is, if there is no God, why are you doing anything that you do? Who says what the rules are? Who says what's right or wrong? You see, you take away the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. What you believe and know is completely different. So, in working through this with God, there's a life that we must have in acknowledging God. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Notice this, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise it. And here's the interesting thing. People will listen to it. People might know it. People might even agree with it. But what knowing happens in their lives? A foolish person will despise wisdom and instruction. My son, he says in verse 8, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. In other words, they will beautify you and they'll lead you in the way to go. Look for knowledge from God. Notice down in verse 22, it says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity and scorners delight in their scorners? Fools hate knowledge. Fools hate knowledge. The real knowledge. I'm talking about the knowledge that comes from above, the wisdom that comes from above, not of this world, but is grounded in faith in who God is and what God does. Verse 23, turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you because I have called you and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then he will call on me. I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me because they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. It didn't start at the right spot. The world builds a God besides the true God. It chooses ways besides God's true holy and loving ways. And then the conflict comes and they say, why did God do this? When God wasn't in their plan to begin with. When God wasn't part of the equation. See, God is bringing us to a point. He wants us to know that He is God, that just shall live by faith. In our desires, in our seeking of knowledge, it has to begin with the elementary things that God is who He is. He is just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. Verse 29, they hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. Verse 30, they would have none of my counsel. They despised my every rebuke. You know, sometimes that's the most frustrating thing as a parent. You can talk to your children, you can counsel your children, but eventually they're going to make the decisions. And they don't always do what you counsel them to do. You give wisdom, you give instruction, you say, here's the way, walk in this way. But then you have to let them go. And a lot of times, things don't turn out so well. As a parent, you pray that they get through it, but also that they would learn from it. And when things go south, to be there. But notice he says, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. How do you get grounded in the decisions you make? By building on the rock that is Christ. He is the champion of your life. If you will have Him, He will teach you and give you right wisdom and instruction. And here's an amazing thing about when you walk with God and have a relationship. If you're thinking about having something in your life, decisions, knowledge, needing to do things in life, and you want to do it, and you talk to God and do it, He presents teachers to you. 15 years ago, I could not play guitar. Some of you say, today I can't play guitar. I'm trying. It's okay. I get it. I'm not that good. I'm not a Brad Lusenheit. I mean, Brad can play. I'm up here, you know, poking at that thing. But the thing is, 15 years ago, I couldn't play a guitar, but I was praying to God about worship. And the desire came in my heart to want to play guitar so that I could lead worship. That if I was in a group of people, that I could pull out a guitar and lead a group of people in worshiping in song to God. And I asked them to bless it. And things started changing. Part of the time I was giving to other things, less fruitful, went to going to guitar lessons and practicing the guitar. And it was a desire built on wanting to do what we were doing here earlier today. To be able to do that. To be able to offer that service. But it started a long time ago, and it started with sacrifices and things that changed in my life because my desire changed. Now what I started to seek after a change. I sought for a teacher. I never was looking for a guitar teacher before I had the desire. And a lot of times in life, you won't be seeking knowledge for something until you have the desire. But the thing is, once you have a desire, start learning. You want to be a nurse? Go talk to nurses. You want to be a teacher? Talk to teachers. You want to run your own business? Talk to people that run their own businesses. You start gaining knowledge from people in the know, who you know fear God and that you can trust in the way they're approaching their life too. And you start to build your knowledge so that you can be successful in what you do. But you don't just go out and say, I want to build a house because I want to have a place for my family. Good desire. But you don't just start pouring concrete and hammering wood together. You have to have some knowledge about what you're doing. You don't just start. You got to know. And so you seek godly knowledge first as the foundation, and then build upon that with the knowledge of others who have experience, who can teach you. There's a book for everything. Go on the internet, you can learn about anything you want. But just test it according to the Word of God and according to true and right principles. It's very important. Faith. Faith is what makes a decision start to change. Faith in what? Faith in what you desire. Now here's an interesting thing. If what I desire is to have a lot of money, and I realize that I can do a Ponzi scheme where I could get people to send me money, and I could pretend that they have all this money with me, and I put out invoices and statements saying they do, but really I'm just collecting the money for myself, how much faith before God am I going to have in that plan? Not much. If you're a, you know, Bernie Madoff, right? He made off with all the money, and he had a plan to swindle people. But if you are walking with God, if you are one of the just who lives by faith, that's not a plan that's good, you're going to have a lot of confidence in. So here's the thing. When things need to be changed in your life, do you have faith in the changes that you're going to make? When you are looking to God and God is saying, here's a desire, here's what I would like you to do, do you have faith in the very thing that you want to do? Because part of the challenge that comes in life is, what if I can't do it? You know, again, when I was playing guitar, for me, it came slowly, it came more difficultly. And learning to play certain chords, and the challenge is like, I don't know if this can be done, but yet, I did know that people did it. So I knew that the thing I was trying could be done. You know, it's amazing when you look back at the movies that have been created, there are books written about the 4-minute mile. Now, Alan Bannister, in the 1950s, was trying to do something that people said couldn't be done. People, they actually had quotes from people saying, we don't know if it could humanly be done to run a 4-minute mile and what would happen. You know, it's like you went through the sound barrier, somehow you're going to like blow up. He ran a 4-minute mile, boom! You know, like the guy's gone. He's just, he can't do that. He can't run a 4-minute mile. You know, it was kind of crazy thinking, but the thinking was it couldn't be done. But there were people that had belief that it could be done. And what's so amazing is that in the years, they made progressions toward it, but just kept getting harder and harder. And it felt like they had hit a wall above the 4-minute mark. But then he, and I can't remember the name of the other gentleman that was his friend, that was also Landy. Landy was his last name that was trying to do it. They were working together to break the 4-minute mile. And what was interesting is once Bannister did it, 46 days later, Landy did it. And then people started doing it. And now thousands of people, tens of thousands of people have broken. It's considered the standard for middle distance runners doing a 4-minute mile. And I think right now they're around 3:43 is the mile. I mean, they're just blazing fast. Blazing fast. Realize 4-minute miles, 15 miles an hour. I mean, that's some fast running there. You know, so you look at these people, what they're doing. When people tell you you can't do something, it can be a very difficult thing. The business I've run and that I've been a part of and through which God has blessed my family for over 25 years was a business that people in the industry said wouldn't work. When we went for counsel and knowledge, people said it won't work and here's the reasons why. And so my brother had a lot of faith that it would work because he felt it was something we were supposed to do. I want you to know it's still here and it's still providing and it's very helpful. Now, not just to my family, but to other families, to the employees that we have and their families, and to the people that we have the opportunity to serve. So 25 years. But when you have people that are older than you, more experienced than you, saying, you can't do this, sometimes you need to actually look and say, but is this something that I can do? A lot of people say you can't obey God. A lot of people say you can't change. A lot of people say you can't be a different person tomorrow than you are today. They'll challenge your faith in God, and they'll challenge your faith in who you are that you can. Doubt. Fear. Fear of failure. Going down the wrong paths. If you think you can't, you probably can't. You can't look at this and just say, this is blind faith. I'm talking about good and godly desires. Now, I can dream to beat Garrett in basketball. It's not going to happen. At this stage of the game, it's a little late for me to make the NBA. But that's not who God made me to be. But the things that God desires, that He wants to put in me and create in me to be. He said, commit your ways to the Lord and I will bring it to pass. You see, when the desires of your heart match up with the desires of God's heart for you, you have all the power you need to be who God made you to be. Now, I want you to think about how powerful God is. What can't God do? You look at the universe and you see the glory of God. He says in the book of Ephesians that we ask according to the power that is at work with us, that God is able to do more than we think or imagine according to the power that is already at work within us. The evil one, this world, even our own carnal self, doesn't want to believe how powerful God is or how much God is on our side. The things you desire, the things that you want, that are in God's will and God's desire, He wants you to have them. He just wants you to be part of the process. He's like, farmer, go out and start planting crops. You want to grow tomatoes? Let's grow tomatoes. But the farmer's still got to go put some seed in. You see, when we talk about God doing everything, God does everything. But as any good father, He can do it all Himself, but He's trying to teach His kids, get out there and do something. Let's go out and work in the garden together. Let's go plant the tomatoes. So you teach your child how to dig a little hole, and you put the little seed in, and you put some water and some fertilizers, and you know, it just kind of grows up. You feed that ground, and once you know, that seed starts to sprout. That seed turns into a plant. On that plant, there are these tomatoes. In each of those tomatoes, there's hundreds of those little seeds that you put in the ground. What an amazing miracle! God is ready to do the miracle. But the simple thing you got to do is plant the seed. In our lives, so often what happens is we come to the part where we're wondering whether we can. We want to do it. We desire to do it. We might know how to do it. We believe we can do it. We believe God would help us. But then what happens is we don't take action. You have to have action in your life. The action that shows what you really think, what you really believe. I want you to look at this with me in James chapter 1 to begin with. Notice in James chapter 1, he says in verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. This is one of the greatest lessons I really learned in life. You can have a desire to do something. You can know how to do it. You can believe that you can and that God will help you. And even what you're doing is right. But unless you actually take some steps in that direction, nothing changes. Nothing changes. Friends, let's say you want to start giving 10% of your income to God. When the check comes in, unless you dedicate 10% and actually give it to God somewhere, it's not going to happen. But there it is. You might say, I desire to give it. I know how to give it. I know where I want it to go. I have faith that I should. I believe God will bless me. And He says He'll open the windows of heaven. I have places that I want to put that offering to God. But unless you actually take it and do it, you didn't do it. Simple, but not easy. Because you start to have doubts. Well, did God really say I had to do this? I didn't really need to offer up to God. That was the Old Testament. That was something else for a different time. Me giving to God, how does that help anybody? How does that help my family? I don't have enough to give to God. But see, your faith should kick in at those moments and say, well, wait a minute, who gave me in the first place? How did I get the income in the first place? Who is my provider? Is it Yahweh, Yireh? Yahweh who provides? Because if the God of heaven sits on His throne and He sees little old me right here writing a check to say, God, I give this to you and I do it in giving to these orphans or to these widows or to this church or to this project or whatever it is where God has led you to give of your offerings and tithes to Him. He sees and He blesses. You can argue semantics, you can argue scripture, you can go legalist on me and get all literal. I will tell you, I testify to you, what I tell you is true. And I'm not asking you for money. I'm asking you to give to God. I'm telling you, I want you to be blessed. And when God says that in Malachi, He's saying, I want to bless you. Let me do it. But you got to put forth the effort to put me on your team. To show me that you really believe. You want to pray. You say, yeah, I need to pray more. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I get up in the morning and I just don't think about prayer. And then I go through my day and, I was busy at work and I didn't really think about God, and I got home and I was busy with the kids, and before I knew it, the whole day went away and I never spent any time praying. But you can say, I want to pray. I got the desire. I know how to pray. I believe I should pray. God would help me if I did pray. I know I can do it. But if you never say, I'm going to take this time now to pray, because I know it's what I want to do and desire to do and believe I should do, because God is on His throne and He's waiting and I want to get there, then I'm going to get out there and pray. It motivates your action. Faith without works is dead. You can't say, I want to live a new life and not take action. Faith, belief, agreement, assent to whatever truth you believe without decided activity is not a faith-based decision. It's just your theory. And the time comes when you got to say, I got to stop living by theory and live by real practice. Is what's coming out of my life in the way I use my time and my energies, is it reflective of what I want? And if you say, no, it's really not, congratulations, you are now on the path to freedom in Christ. God wants us to see this, not to hold us down and say, see, you're no good. No, He's saying, that's the reality. Here we go. And you grab onto God's arm and He slings you up. He says, lift off takes place in your life because now you've seen where you've fallen short, but you see where I will help you up, and in your weakness I am strong, and if you will confess that you're not all that, but that I am, I will be all that, and so will you. You will be all that you are to be in Christ. God is on your side. God is wanting to help you. God is earnest to help you, to be near Him, to do the things that are right and just, that your life would be a reflection of who you are as a child of God. When you look at the image of God in holiness, in perfection, in righteousness, the way He provides, the way He takes care of widows and orphans, He helps those people in need, the way He sacrifices to encourage us to be more like Him and to build us up, that becomes reflective of your life. You are reflecting that glory, the things that drive you, the desires that fill you, the energies and purposes and plans that you have are coming from God. That's why I said this church is not just a place to come and to sit and to spectate. This place is to come to be encouraged and lifted up for whatever ministry God has called you to do. If you come here today and say, yes, this is good, and go home and live the same life, you're not engaging in what God has called you to. I'm challenging you to engage. Engage in the process of life to know who God is and to know who you are in Christ. To know and believe, to make decisions in your life. What is it you want to do? What is it you want to do? Has God been putting a desire in your heart already? Has God been saying, I want you to do this. I want you to want to do this. See, it starts with something. Maybe you say, man, David, I've got 10 things I want to tackle. Don't worry about 10. Worry about one. Pick the most important one. Is it prayer? Is it Bible study? You see, what happens a lot of times when you start to develop and renew your mind in a new way of living, the old habits want to come back. This list is not a progression that you go through point one, you get to point two, you forget about point one. You always are going back to point one, and point two, and point three, and point four. You want to make a change in your life. You say, I do want to pray more. What's something else? Anybody else here have something on your mind today? You want to change? Don't be bashful.
Organization.
You want to be more organized. Is that the best you got? I said choose your highest priority. Is that it? Yeah. I think you're pretty good at that, actually. I think he's well organized. I'm going with somebody else on this. Lynn?
I want to hear God.
You want to hear God. Now we're talking. If you hear God, you're going to be more organized, Scott, so listen up. What a great desire that is. God called out to Samuel when he was just a boy. It said that the word of God was not heard much in those days. They called out to Samuel. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Draw upon him. Call upon him. Call upon his holy name. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. You know, when you think about hearing from God, Lynn, the first thing is that you have the right desire. It's pure. Now, what do you do to have knowledge of how to do that? See, the scriptures give us all these wonderful teachings from God's mind that he inspired to be written for us about hearing from him. So, Jesus, before he goes out to pick his disciples, do you know what he does? He goes and spends the whole night in prayer. Because he's talking to God about what is going on. He's getting God's desires. And God's going to download to him. So prayer is a big part of your answer. What do you need to do? What do you need to know about hearing from God? Second, what do we see in terms of people coming to hear and know from God in the New Testament? Receiving of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can probably hear from God because God can just show up on your doorstep anytime he wants. But Jesus promised that it was to our advantage that he go away. He said, if you go away, I will send the Holy Spirit. And what? He will teach. He will guide. He will lead. He will testify. He will speak. Not of his own words, it says, but according to the will of God. So the Spirit of God then, as we see in the book of Acts, is talking to the disciples. And what's amazing about hearing from God is to be open to what God is doing and what God wants you to do. God's Spirit was telling them. God's Spirit told Peter, Ananias and Sapphira lied about the money. God's Spirit told Peter to go with Cornelius' servants who came to the door. God's Spirit told the congregation, the church, to set aside Paul and Barnabas for a tour they were to go on. God's Spirit told Paul not to go preach the gospel in that city. And when they wanted to go to another region, not to go. But in these things, you find a communication with God, a fellowship of opening up your life and having a faithful expectation that you will hear from God. Faith in what you desire. If you don't think God talks to anybody, according to your faith, be it done unto you. According to your faith. If you say, God, you don't talk to people, according to your faith. Do you believe that God exists? If you're being challenged that God exists and that he wants to speak, well, you've got a faith issue. Remember what it said in the book of James? He said, if you lack wisdom, let the man ask of God in faith. But if the man asks doubting, he shouldn't expect to receive the thing he's asking for. So when you're saying, I want to hear from God, you need to believe that God wants to talk to you, which he does, because Jesus promised. That was the giving of the Holy Spirit for the purpose of that. He said, I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm not going away. In fact, it's to your advantage because I'm in fleshly form. When the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit will lead you and teach you. So the Spirit will speak. That you have assurance of. God wants to speak. And he will. The question then becomes, will God speak to you? Do you know who you are? You are the daughter of God. You are his beloved. Jesus' blood was spilled for your life. Jesus wants to be involved in your life. God the Father wants to be involved in your life. And they want to be speaking more to you. Believe that. And when doubts come in, or you think God's not listening, or you think that I'm not getting the answer soon enough, I want you to take courage in what was said to Daniel. When he began a fast, he started fasting and he prayed and asked God a question. He got no answer on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 3 weeks. When the answer finally came, the angel messenger that came to him said, God answered you on day one. It just took me a while to get here. The answers from God that you don't receive when you do believe, the ones you don't receive right away, are a matter of the timing. The matter of where is the timing in things. There have been times in my personal life where I have prayed prayers and instantly got the answer that I desire. There have been times I've asked God for things and He just acted so quickly there was no way I could deny that I couldn't give testimony to the fact He did. There have been other times I've prayed and asked for specific answers to specific things and got nothing but silence for months. There was one time when I was praying and asking for God to speak to me on a certain subject in regard to my family and my business, and I'm like, God, you're so silent, just talk to me. Talk to me. But time kept going on. Time kept going on, but I kept pursuing and seeking. Again, part of the process of faith. Remember what it says? I believe it's in Luke 18. He says, will I find faith when I come back on the earth? And what example did He give? That people ought to pray and not lose hope. That if the unjust judge would avenge the widow who comes for justice, how much more is God going to be hearing? But He says, but when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith? People willing to pray? You know, the most discouraging thing for me as a pastor is that our prayer meetings aren't filled all the time. I will tell you, I'll just be honest with you. Because if we really had faith in who God is and what God is doing and who God's people are, if at all possible, we would be there for that. In fact, I'm almost ready to cancel the service and just make it a prayer service. I'm not kidding. Because if this isn't a house of prayer where people are seeking God and expecting to hear His voice, well, we might just be playing a theological, theoretical, religious game here. And that's not what we want. I would rather God show up and we hear from Him the whole service and I never preach a sermon again. I would prefer that. But for whatever reason, I'm here. For now. But then you have to take action. The action is that all the things that we know you should be doing, in faith believing, in faith praying, in faith seeking, like Daniel, fasting, going after Him, and then trusting in Him that He will answer. The practice of all of that faith will come out. And you'll have the thing you desire. So I was saying this one time, I remember just God being so silent with me for months. And what was funny is, as I was praying, and as I was asking God for direction, and I was wanting God to give me an answer about a specific thing, at the end of all these months, I kneeled down to pray and started praying the prayer, and the answer was, you already know the answer. And I stopped because I was in such a habit of asking that maybe I wasn't looking or seeking, and I realized that all the circumstances that I had been praying about had changed. And the answer was obvious. The answer was obvious. And as soon as I had the word, I knew what to do. And I got it. A lot of times when we're seeking to hear God's voice, the issue isn't a matter of just whether we hear an audible voice or we get a message or we see a sign or we have something that we're looking for going on in life or we do a fleece test. And believe me, I've done them all. The process of prayer, you know, there's a saying that says prayer changes things. God's more interested in prayer changing you. He speaks to change you. The goal is not to change circumstances. The goal is to change you and me, that we become the children of God. So Christianity is not about seeking after experiences of, I want to hear God's voice, or I want to see this miracle, or I want to... It's about being who God made us to be, and in the process, we are going to see His hand involved in our lives. We're going to see His Spirit taking us places that we didn't know we were going to go. We'll be doing things we didn't know we were going to do, and it's all because of His leading and pulling us and taking us to different places, because His concern is changing us. He wants to change you. Faith-based decisions is seeing God in every circumstance of your life, in everything that you go through, and wanting His counsel, His involvement, His wisdom, and saying, just show me. When a person is desirous in faith to seek after God, he will show, and he will give you the energy, faith, to continue on the action that you are. If you truly believe it, you will act. It says here in James chapter 2, verse 20, James 2, 20, do you want to know, O foolish man? Faith without works is dead. Abraham, our father, was justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar. He didn't actually kill Isaac, did he? But yet, he did. He was willing to for God. He was willing to. God saw his faith by his actions. Do you see faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? The scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Did you read that, saints? Because what you believe, you're going to do. What you believe, you will act out. If you believe something gives you comfort in life, if you believe a pile of cocaine will give you some kind of salvation, you're going to look at that cocaine and say, there's my redemption. I don't believe that. I look at a pile of cocaine and say, that's a mess on my table. Clean that up. Get the vacuum out. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't hold any value because I don't believe there's any salvation in it. But when you go through the action, what's going to happen is these old habits will want to come up, and that's why you go back and review with God. What is my desire? How do I need to be doing this? You know, if you go on a diet, I'm going to tell you how to help yourself. If you're dieting, you're saying, I want to lose some weight, or read about diet food. Read about vegetables and fruits and things you should be putting in your body and start doing it. You want to start an exercise program? Read about exercise. Read it every day. Read an article and just say, I'm going to read this. It will inspire you. The knowledge will continue to build desire. Desire will continue to help you with the faith. And that will lead to more action in your life. Same with prayer. Same with hearing from God. Look for all the examples in the Bible. Man, what book doesn't have examples of hearing from God? Go after God in those scriptures. Read them day by day by day, over and over. Reading them, believing in faith, it will spur your desire. It will make the desire greater. It will increase your knowledge about how it happens. It will increase your faith, and the action will flow out of that. God's Spirit wants to rewrite your heart and renew your heart and mind to be like His. Every thought can be brought into captivity by bringing it before God's Word and being submissive to this. God is awesome, and He wants to change your world, and He wants to be involved in your life. And I ask you to go after Him. Go after Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that He will heal your heart and your mind, that He will fill you with a new and right spirit, and He will bring about godly change in you.